Justin Schuller moved on from the Brisbane Bullets. Yeah. Matt, I want your first take on this before I come in with the long run.
Hopefully with permission, I hope Matt and Mick don't mind, but Thursday, February the 6th, 2025, I have to read this to you because I just think it's so amazing, you know, like how this happens all the time when you've got a coach that thinks, yeah, I'm rock solid. Everyone's behind me. The board's behind me, et cetera, et cetera. I'm okay. I'm under contract. So this is cross court in the Daily Telegraph. So it starts, Brisbane will launch an independent review into an injury-riddled NBL campaign that will mark a sixth straight season without making the finals amid speculation around Justin Schuller's coaching future. And it just sort of goes on to say, as Cross Court looks at the teams out of the running for the NBL playoffs, Bullets Chief Executive Malcolm Watts confirmed the review plan. We do a review every season, but due to the significant spike in our injuries and the impact that that's had on our results, we're going to bring in an independent party to review that and then use those learnings to make decisions for the betterment of the club, Watts said. Now, here's the key paragraph. Schuller scoffed at suggestions. The review was a sign that he was under pressure to keep his job. I'm going to into my third year and going to be talking to the club about what it looks like past that pretty soon. So past the third year, there's nothing going on with me and I'm excited for what we're going to do in years to come, Schuller said. We're obviously frustrated with injuries impacting the way our years ended up, but our process will be the same as always. We'll review, as we always do, players, staff, every element of the club. And then the axe falls, Julian.
Oh, my sweet summer child. Justin. Oh, my sweet summer child.
I know.
Justin, you're going to need to sit down for this one.
Yeah, I know. Look, I shouldn't laugh. That's disrespectful. It's never a good thing when a guy loses his job. But I was surprised in a way and not surprised in another way. Look, the Bullets, you know, Malcolm Watts, executive of the year, by the way, has done a really good job kind of building the off-court stuff. You know, the move to Boondall obviously was a big one. Apparently, commercially, they've done very well this year. Crowds are obviously up. There's a little more excitement, a little more connectivity between that great Brisbane community and the Bullets, which has been a real problem for them for decades, in all honesty. So they've made some positive strides. But then I guess what you're looking at with Justin, it unfortunately, as the saying goes, it's a wins and losses league. And he just wasn't able to get it done from that perspective with his club. I actually think it might be damning with faint praise, but I think he's an excellent developer of talent. And I think he's probably at this level more suited as a really, really good assistant coach. Or he's got the runs on the board at a junior level as a head coach. And maybe that's where he fits. As a head coach of a professional basketball team, it's a completely different paradigm to what he's been before and in previously. And as I said, he's a great – look, he knows his stuff, Justin. Everybody who knows has had anything to do with him knows that he's a guy that really understands the game and is a really good teacher of the game. So maybe it's just one of those instances where he's just not meant to be a head coach, at least not now, of an NBL program. And let's be honest. I mean, Brisbane still, you know, need to get that program to at least a play-in / semi-final level. And they need to make some changes. I was surprised in one respect, as I said, because I thought there were times that, you know, he did a reasonable job and he certainly, you know, got some of those guys up and firing, but at the end of the day, he's still losing a lot of games. And I think the Bullets, where they're at right now, I think that organization realizes that they're trying to you know, drive the whole Boondall thing. They're trying to drive the connection in the community, as I said before. Part of that, a big, big part of that has got to be, you've got to be legitimate. You've got to be a contender. You can't just be a team that's making up the numbers, which they have for years. And Justin, unfortunately, look, yeah, it had some good moments, but overall, and that's what they're looking at, right? Overall, it's just, yeah, it's they needed to go in a different direction, in my opinion.
From my perspective, if they don't have someone in mind or someone targeted or a couple of people targeted that are reputable and have some serious experience, then I don't know what the positive is for moving a guy on after a season where you have actually shown some green shoots for the first time in forever.
That's fair.
And granted, they started poorly as well, and we were talking about the Phoenix Bullets game at the start of the year where
Oh, yeah.
loser gets sacked, and ultimately we were proven right because Mike Kelly was fired the next morning.
There you go.
But Brisbane, they were decimated by injuries
Yeah,
that
they
stopped.
were.
They were
Absolutely.
playoff contenders. They were
Yep,
playoff
absolutely.
contenders. And I think if they stay healthy,
For a while.
I think they probably get in there ahead of Adelaide.
Yeah, they might very well. Yeah, it's a great point.
So
Absolutely, it's a great point.
I think that unless they've got someone in mind or someone lined up, or they've got
Oh,
a
they
couple
must.
of guys, they're going, okay, these are reputable guys, either NBL or overseas experience. Put it this way. If they go and get someone untested and put them in this position, then it's another Bullets moment. Because I think that Justin Schuller deserved and probably should have gotten another go around with it. And if we're in the same scenario 12 months later, then yeah, absolutely. And look, I can understand you made a lot of valid points, and I agree with a lot of what you're saying. It is a wins and losses league. But
Yeah, fundamentally.
we basically put the line on Brisbane and wrote them off at the early point of January because of the injuries. But prior to that, and I will stand by this, if they don't have that injury run late, they make the sixth seed ahead of Adelaide. And they probably get a 500 record or better. So when I saw this, I thought, oh, here we go again.
Yeah, he's the
You
scapegoat. Yeah,
just
look,
can't get out of your own way.
it's fair. From the injuries, definitely. I mean, they were decimated. There's no two ways about that. I mean, it's crazy, and it seemed to be a year for it, unfortunately, for a lot of clubs. But yeah, I look, you just hope that as a Bullets fan, if you're a Bullets fan, that you hope that they've got either someone in mind that they think is going to be a real game changer for them, or that they're going to conduct a proper search, not just a search that really isn't one that they've already, oh, we're just going to elevate this guy or that guy, whoever it is, but a proper professional, dedicated coaching search from around the world. Because let's face it, we know there's a lot of coaches that want to coach in the NBL. There really is around the world. They're just, our little old league here in Australia has an enormous amount of respect and guys that want. I mean, Josh King, perfect example.
Well,
I
you
mean,
know
it's,
what, Matt? If the
yeah.
Bullets, and I'm just reading this statement here from the Bullets talking about we're running a process to identify the best person, et cetera, et cetera. We're taking the next step. All right, you want to take the next step, Brisbane? Go make an offer to Chase Buford.
Oh, that's interesting.
Go get someone legitimate like that. Because if you do, then okay, I'm on board with this.
Will
But
Weaver's another one,
yeah,
potentially.
Will Weaver, guys that have got NBL experience or another Josh King, someone out there who's got experience in Europe. But if you're going to elevate a career assistant coach, then I'm going to come on this program and play the circus music for Brisbane again because it will be
You
Brisbane
will be off.
reverting back to type just as they were getting themselves out of the hole they've dug themselves since 2019 when they made that one playoff series and were swept, but they weren't even there. You better have something good in store, Brisbane, because I haven't got the circus music yet, but I've got it queued up.
But we need them to, Julian. How many
Yes.
times have we said it? Third largest market in the country, all that amazing history. You've got a statue of the greatest ever, Leroy Loggins, in front of Boondall. I mean, and what that club meant to Brisbane back in the day. And I know it was a long time ago, I get it, but that still means something. It's got to mean something. So they need to, pull their finger out and start, turning into that team again, that dynastic type Brisbane Bullets, and the energy and the again, I use that word connectivity with a community, all of that amazing stuff. They've got to get back to that because it was a special thing. It really was. I mean, anybody like me that was around back then, and it was during the NBL's first so-called boom that they called it. Yeah, that organization means a lot to the league, and they need to get. It's like with the Kings; it's the same deal. You know, you need a powerful Brisbane, I believe, especially in that market.
Sam McKinnon went on radio this afternoon and said that he was interested in the role.
Yeah, I it's interesting because you know, we just talked about it before, right? That he made that impassioned speech at halftime of that game. And of course, you know, he's a guy who won a championship with Brisbane all those years ago and coached as well. And so it's interesting with Sam, you know, it's like, I think he needs to be part of the conversation. I'll say that. Now, I've got a lot of time for Sammy, you know, personally, I always have, but yeah, I mean, you'd certainly have him. It'd be worth the conversation at the very least.
I finished the season with a lot of hope about this group, the Brisbane Bullets.
Yes.
And then you think of the names that get thrown around for the new head coaching role. Names yes. like, you know, who they could bring in. Oh, there's some really good names in there. Chase Buford's mentioned, is there? Paul Hanare, we know, was very keen on it. So they spin the wheel of destiny, the Brisbane Bullets, and who do they land on? Stu Lash. What?
Yeah.
What explain this question? To me.
Mick, go for it. Because
I was at the under 20 nationals when all that went down, and the overwhelm, I reckon I got asked the same question 10 times. Mick, did you see that coming? Did you see that coming? And I was like, no, I did not. Yeah, it's very interesting. They're trying to do something different. My understanding is that they had Paul Hinata signed, sealed, and delivered. I think Stu was part of the panel that interviewed Paul Hinata, and then it got to a point at some stage where I think the owner Jason Levien, who obviously, you know, has the history with the Grizzlies with Stu, rang the CEO Mal Watts and said, "What about Stu?"
Oh my God!
And now Stu Lash is the coach of the Bullets for the next 3 years.
Oh my God!
Yeah,
that is the most Brisbane Bullets thing I've ever heard.
Well, look. We can have as many conspiracy theories as we want, and look, mate. You know, if I was a fan, I would be thinking exactly the same thing. But I'm very, and I know this is rare for a journo, but I am very proof is in the pudding, right? So, regardless, you give this guy a chance, and you hope for him that it doesn't all turn, you know, all turn to. Oh, I can't swear on this. On the podcast, but you know what I mean. Like, you hope for him and for the Bullets and for the fans that it does go well for him, because it felt to me over the last 2 years that there were just these little flashes of signs that they're on the cusp of turning things around, you know. Mm. Like, they finished right on the edge 2 years in a row. You know, there's just, you know, and they had their problems throughout those 2 years, and it's like they're on the cusp of, you know, of just taking the next step, and if they sneak into a play-in next year, it's like, okay, we've achieved something, and we're moving forward. So I think that's got to be the goal from here, right?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, you do have to give him a chance, and of course, they can point to, you know, when people question the guy's background, as far as he's never been a head coach at this level. Well, who else was in a similar situation? Yeah, Justin Tatum, and he had nothing but some high school experience behind him, and of course we all know how that ended up turning out. So you can never say never, right? It was just, yeah, I just thought it was bizarre. I think it's a bizarre hire. I think, look, you can say what you like about, oh, he's, you know, and a lot of the times they throw this sort of stuff out that, oh, he's had all this experience at different levels in the NBA. Well, yeah, that's all well and good. but that doesn't necessarily translate to being a good head coach, you know, and it's like a player becoming a great head coach. Or, you know, I mean, the perfect example is, God love him to death, and he's, you know, obviously I'm close, and I, you know, you'll kill me for saying this, but
Don't do it.
Well, it's Drewy. I mean, look, Drew is the greatest of all time. But I, you know, I never thought he was going to – I just never thought it. I never saw it. I, you know, just didn't believe it. And, you know, and I was proven correct. Look, you know, I wasn't alone, clearly. But so – but having said that, again, there are situations where it can happen, where you can have a player that, you know, a great player become a championship-level coach, Phil Smyth being – you know, an obvious candidate, Brian Curl being another one, Ken Cole being another one, for, you know, going sort of way back in history. But yeah, I mean, this whole circumstance of him being part of this club and being on the panel to select a new head coach, and then ultimately being, oh, what about Stu? Let's just give it to Stu. And then making a big song and dance about how many people were interviewed and how many were on the short list, and they were very high caliber, and then all that. And then you end up with a guy that doesn't have any coaching experience. We don't know what he's like with X's and O's. And look, it could work. It could work. But I just, when that happened, I was just dumbfounded. I thought, why on earth? The optics alone are horrible.
You know, I don't think you're alone in that, mate. And look, you could see like you mentioning that, you know, all these people that, you know, the high caliber and all that sort of stuff. It almost felt like they had to try and spin it that way. Do you know what I mean? Like it was.
Oh yeah, I mean, there's been a massive PR campaign around it, and that worries me too. You know, that they're going out of their way to say, oh, this guy's the guy and this guy should be the head coach. It's like, nah, not so much. Not so much. You know, I mean, it's because, look, you say what you want about Justin Schuler. Was he going to take him to the next level? Was he not? I thought Justin did a really good job. I like Justin a lot.
And I love Schuler. I've always been a fan of Schuler.
I'm a fan of his. Yeah. Again, talk about, you know, 40 being a great developer of talent, this guy definitely qualifies. It just, I don't know, it just, yeah, again.
I think what you're saying is that, and this is my feeling as well, if you're going to sack a guy who, you know, he's coaching for 2 years.
Yep.
I think he'd extended, or they'd taken up his option of a third year.
Yep.
If you're going to sack him after 2 years where they're right on the cusp, right?
Yeah.
You need to replace him with a big gun or a big name, or, you know,
Hinata. You're right. It better Hinare, or it better bloody well be Chase Buford.
Yeah.
That's who it should be. And, you know, and you're right. And it's so frustrating because you can see them taking steps, the right steps. You know, they move out to Boondall, you know, the spiritual home of Brisbane basketball, it's fair to say. Even though they started obviously at Auchenflower and then went to Chandler, won the championship there, etc. But really, you know, Boondall was where, you know, Brisbane Bullets basketball exploded. That's where it was. And to go back there, I think, was important. And you know, that should serve them well. That was a positive. But, yeah, I mean, look, they've already lost a couple of guys that they probably didn't want to. But yeah, it's... Look, he's got to prove it, obviously, Lash. You know, I mean, and it is unfair to sort of – it's just at – for right now, I just thought it was a weird, weird hire that didn't make any sense to me.
You all know how I feel about this club.
You and Brisbane, oh, my God. You know, it's – yeah, I don't know if we've told you this, Mick, but or you know about this, but, yeah, Julian's had a very interesting relationship over many years with the Brisbane Bullets.
I want to hear some story time.
Well, I mean, you know, to the point where I've been hearing it from people in that organisation, you know, that I know.
Why is he so hard on us?
In the organisation. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. I'll tell you why I'm so hard on you.
They weren't happy with him, and I told him, and Julian was sending me texts, oh, my God, am I going to be allowed to, you know, go into Brisbane at all anymore? But that's what it was like, because there were people in that organization that I know that aren't there anymore, but that I knew at the time, and that listened to the program. And I always say to Julian, it's you just don't believe who listens to us. Like you wouldn't believe it. You know, the messages from certain people that I get, you're kind of like, oh my God.
Julian, just be happy you only got one and not 10.
Yeah, that's you. Well, yeah, that's you.
For the 100th time. For the 100th time, I'll tell you exactly why I'm so hard on them, because they're the third biggest market in the country and they serve up this every year.
Stub their toe.
Don't interrupt him. I want to hear the rant.
Every single year. And this one drives me even further insane because they had finally figured it out. They'd finally figured it out. And then they do this. And now I find out they had Paul Hanare stitched up. What?
They've broken. One of your best, mate. One of your best.
We've got our grab for the promo, right?
Yeah.
They're finally broken me.
Dear, oh dear.
They're finally broken me. I want to finish off with Stu Lash and the Brisbane Bullets.
Okay, this one I'm going to leave completely to you.
No, I want some input from you here because I want to know if I'm overreacting.
But anyway, go.
If I'm overreacting. We mentioned it in our season review. We mentioned it a bit, but I don't know if we had the full gravitas of just what has happened here. The fact that the Brisbane Bullets, at a period of time where, again, you got Justin Schuller, whether you believe he was rightfully sacked or not, and I think that they should have given him another year, but I can understand the reasoning why you would think otherwise. But if you are going to make that decision, you want someone significant. You want someone who's got tenure. You want someone who's got runs on the board. If you're telling me that Justin Schuller just hasn't got enough to get you over the line, that's fine. That's totally fine. But I want a heavy hitter. And when you're talking about heavy hitters, there are a few people out there who were rumoured and tied to the position. Chase Buford was one. I heard Will Weaver's name mentioned in several circles. But Paul Hanare, a guy who does have tenure, a guy who does have runs on the board, a guy who I think would have been fantastic for the Brisbane program. We come to find out he was essentially stitched up, ready to go, ready to sign on the dotted line as the Brisbane Bullets head coach. It's like, okay, well, I think Buford and Brisbane, if he would have liked to have taken the deal, I would have loved to have seen him come back with a new group and a point to prove. But Paul Hanare, yep, there you go. There's taking that next step. Brisbane, you're showing me you're serious. I like this. Then comes the phone call. Hey. Okay, I understand you've got this guy, Paul Hanare. Yeah, that's nice. But you see the guy that's been conducting the interviews? Why don't we give it to him? Couldn't hurt. What do you reckon? Let's just give it to him.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, Stu, congratulations. You're the new head coach of the Brisbane Bullets. Here you are. Here you go. I don't know if you even wanted it, but yep, here you go. What a deeply unserious organization the Brisbane Bullets are.
Yeah, it's interesting. You mentioned the word unserious. I had a conversation with someone, I won't mention his name, but that the word someone who's been involved with the Bullets before and in a certain capacity and potentially could have again, but said to me that this is an organization that isn't serious about winning, not just basketball games, winning in general, which means, you know, building that program to where we all want it to become or what it used to be. And, you know, but the current group just doesn't seem to have a grasp on that. And so, yeah, I think a lot of people believe that. Now, look, who knows? They could have struck the lottery with this guy. And the reason I say that is two words, Justin Tatum. Now, same sort of deal. in one respect, just from a purely experience as a head coach scenario, and which JT wasn't before Illawarra, you know, tabbed him to replace Jacob Jackamas. And of course, we've seen the result. Now, maybe that was probably was lightning in a bottle, catching lightning in a bottle. But yeah, you obviously you can't make a pronouncement that he's going to be lousy because you don't know. You don't know, like they've still got to fill out the roster. They've still got a lot of work to do on that to build out a roster that can contend. And I'm not talking about just being, you know, a play-in tournament contention. I'm talking about legitimate top four, top two type of team. That's what they've got to build. And we don't know if this guy can coach or not. It's the great unknown. What you're talking about is the way the process was conducted. And looking from afar, the process was fairly laughable, you know, from my, especially with the outcome. But again, we don't know if this guy can coach or not. We don't know how he is with the X's and O's. All we know is that he's been involved at certain levels with NBA programs and by all accounts done a good job. But that doesn't mean jack you know what, because being a head coach, and I've said this a million times, it is a completely different paradigm to anything else because you have to be so many things. And we don't know if Stu Lash is able to be that guy. You know, the fact that they made such a, it raises red flags for me when clubs make such a big deal of, oh, he was involved as a general manager at so-and-so NBA team. Oh, he was a lead scout at so-and-so NBA team. That's garbage. I mean, that's just, when they start throwing that and they jam it down your throat about we've made the right decision because he's been in the upper echelons of the NBA, like, I'm sorry, but that doesn't do anything for me. I want to know about him as a man manager. I want to know about him as an X's and O's guy. I want to know about his ability to make in-game adjustments. We don't know any of those things yet. So, yeah, it is the great unknown. And I guess what you're talking about is more the process itself of that head coach hire, which, you know, you could certainly play your famous, previously Adelaide 36ers themed circus music to describe it.
See, the thing is with the circus, it was funny. It brings me joy. This brings me no joy. This brings me no amusement. This is just stupid on so many levels.
Yep.
I said it on our last program. This is the most Brisbane Bullets decision that we have ever seen in the history of the Brisbane Bullets.
Yeah.
Well, I say in the history of the Brisbane Bullets since they came back into the league. I'm not going to put the previous iteration, the very successful at times Brisbane Bullets, comparing it with this. A Brisbane Bullets side that, you know, were the Brisbane Bullets of Leroy Loggins, the Brisbane Bullets of one of my favourite teams ever, the 2007 Brisbane Bullets. I cannot possibly begin to understand why you would run this process if you're just going to come to the conclusion of putting in a guy who was already your senior basketball advisor since January 2023. Okay, well, where did Brisbane finish in NBL 24? Where did Brisbane finish in NBL 25? Why are you telling me he now needs to run the show? Why did you have 26 participants and a coaching list and a hit list a mile long, and we interviewed all these great people, and then you just hand it to the guy? Would you put the HR manager as the CEO of your company? That's basically what you've done. And actually, I find it fascinating that, you know, the person you've spoken to said that the Bullets aren't serious about winning. That was, go back to what I mentioned at the start about the Adelaide 36ers. For a long time, they were just happy to exist, it seemed like. They weren't serious about winning. They're serious about it now. For me, it just seems like this Bullets side, this Bullets organization are happy playing their 33 games a year. We'll sell some tickets.
we'll win a few games here. We might fluke a playoff playing game here or there, but you know, it's just nice. You know, this is okay. Don't rock the boat. This is meant to be the third biggest city in the country. This is the third biggest market as far as entertainment and commerce are concerned in the country. You've got a Brisbane sporting market that doesn't exactly scream winner right about now. You've got, I mean, I should amend that. You've got the AFL premiers, of course, the Brisbane Lions.
I was going to say, yeah. I'm sure there's Lions fans listening being, Julian, what are you on?
Yeah. We'll put the Suns in there as well now that they're 8-2. But I mean, it's still not an AFL town. It's a rugby league town, and the Broncos aren't overly fantastic, and you know, who really cares about the Titans. But in particular, when it comes to summer sports, the Brisbane Roar are a basket case. The Brisbane Heat play 6 games in Brisbane a year. You're not really competing with anything. There is no reason why you should not be a powerhouse.
Yeah.
And you instead decide to take the absolute proverbial. What is the point of the Brisbane Bullets? What is the point of having them in the NBL? What is the point of going along and supporting the Brisbane Bullets? Why should I care? Why should anyone in Brisbane care? If I'm a fan and you're trying to tell me, come and spend money to buy a season ticket, to pay a ticket to watch your team play games. Oh, okay. Well, who have you got as the head coach? Oh, well, actually, it's really exciting. We got the guy that was interviewing the candidates, so the head coaching position. We gave it to him. Oh, okay. Well, who have you signed? Well, you know, about that, we'll get back to you. Okay. They're just there. They're just pointless.
Yeah.
They're completely pointless franchise.
We'll see. Yeah, maybe they're all geniuses and we're just, we can't see it clearly. As I said, we don't know. And they've got, it doesn't fill you with much hope. I mean, that again, and I go back to the process to me was a joke. You know, I don't care what anybody says. I mean, it's, when it ends up with, oh, yeah, and this is our guy, and he's had all this NBA experience, and it's going to be great. And it's like, don't try and sell me this garbage. I mean, you're selling a bill of goods here. I don't buy it for one second.
Brisbane's going to finish last.
And I could be, and again, I could be wrong. And I've said this, Julian, I could be wrong. We could be wrong about this. He could turn out to be a great sideline leader, and he could be the guy to build the culture. I use that word again, but build it. But it's going to take a lot. He's going to have to get some pieces into that roster, in all honesty. I mean, that's, you know, it doesn't fill you with much hope at the moment, but still a long way to go in that particular process, I guess. But we'll see. We'll see. Doesn't look good, but you never know. Hey, Bryce Cotton signed with the Adelaide 36ers. Anything's possible, Julian, to quote the great KG.
Well, I'll give you that. I don't think anyone in their right mind would have thought a week ago that Bryce Cotton would be an Adelaide 36er. Even less would have thought he would be a Brisbane Bullet. And after seeing that, thank goodness he isn't. I'm sorry, folks. I just needed to get that off my chest. It's been stewing at me for the last 6 weeks. I just hate
And during NBL 25, you bought real estate on Brisbane Island. You did.
Yeah.
You've obviously tried to, dump it as quickly as possible.
Oh, it's as useless as meme coin now.
Yeah, that's right.
You talk about Bryce burning that gift he got from the West Australian. That's right. I'll be burning the stock on Brisbane Island. What a completely pointless franchise.
My goodness.
I just don't. This is the Brisbane Bullets of Loggins. This is the Brisbane Bullets of Calvin Bruton. This is the Brisbane Bullets that...
Thanks, Scott.
Yeah.
Play the Rat. Yeah.
You know, yeah, run for Derek cover.
Derek Rucker, Andre Moore, Robert Sibley. Yeah, go on and on and on.
CJ Bruton.
Yep.
Filling the Brisbane Entertainment Centre, 13,000 people, 1987.
Yep.
You know, like I said, that 06-07 Brisbane Bullets team, one of my favourites of all time.
121 straight. Yeah, the perpetual argument I have with our friend Joey Wright about who was better, his team or the 86-36ers.
And it looks even worse now when the Adelaide 36ers have gone out and in 3 days landed the signature of Bryce Cotton, and you've got Stu Lash as your head coach. Get serious. I think we've done all the damage we can do here. Next on the list, though.
Oh, here we go. I know what's coming.
What's that?
Brisbane Bullets.
Julian has a special relationship with the Brisbane Bullets, body, in case you're unaware.
Why is that?
I think you've been on one of the programs before, and we talked about this, where Julian has been most of the time very critical of Brisbane over the years, to the point where I was getting messages and phone calls about it from people in the Brisbane Bullets hierarchy. No word of a lie. It was happening. he was going to have his flight privileges revoked to Brisbane, I think, the way they were talking. He was not welcome at Nissan Arena or Boondall or wherever the hell they were going to play. So there you go.
I'm pretty sure that's still the case, although that was
probably.
That was a couple of...
Well, a few of those people have gone now, so...
Yeah. And I was right, by the way. Speaking of the Brisbane Bullets, when it comes to the big signings, the big inclusions they've brought in this season, we're, of course, talking about Stu Lash. We'll get to him in a minute, because Jalen Adams at the Brisbane Bullets, wow. Him with Casey Prather back in the lineup, they've added some firepower, Matt McQuaid. It makes me excited. And then, and this is nothing against the guy, but they chose Stu Lash as the head coach. This is a gamble.
A massive gamble. And after a supposedly worldwide search for their next head coach, they go, oh, we've got the guy right here, and he's never been a head coach before in the league. And
had Paul Hanare stitched up, actually. And you chose the guy in the office next door.
But he knows basketball, apparently. He knows basketball, and he's been an NBA guy, so that makes him qualified. What a load of crap. But sorry. Look, we obviously have to give him a chance. I thought it was a completely bizarre thing to do, but that's how Brisbane have been operating of late. I like who they brought in. Jalen Adams is an interesting one. I've been very public in saying, I believe he was physically compromised the entire season. So let's hope that's not going to be an issue this year. His back was just shot last year, and he did not have the explosion of previous years. He couldn't move the way he used to, couldn't jump the way he used to, still put up some decent numbers, but he was nowhere near the guy that won the MVP under Chase Buford. He wasn't even close. So, to me, that was kind of a little risky. And then there were apparently some other things going on with him that kind of impacted his play last year. So, off the floor, that is. But without going too much into that. Another exciting import out of the G League, apparently. You know, Javon Freeman-Liberty. Yeah, he looks
I liked him. I liked him.
I like him a lot. We're saying this about every import body.
No, he's good. Yeah,
I think he's the real deal. And, look, I'm a big fan of Alex Dukas as well. I think that was a good signing to bring him across. And they kind of, got some young guys bolstering their depth. You know, one of the great names in NBL history. There's a Bradkey back in the NBL, which is good to see. Jensen, I saw him actually when he was with the COE, played against, called one of his games when he was playing for the COE a couple of years back. So, he's talented, gifted, got good size, good mobility. Not as big as his old man, but he could still contribute. And then Tane Murray out of Virginia, great program, of course, in the NCAA. So there's a lot of things to be excited about with Brisbane, but the huge question mark is Stu Lash. We just don't know. And I hate when a team comes out and says, well, he's got all this NBA experience, therefore I hate that. And you hear it so much, and that's a load of rubbish. I mean, that doesn't mean anything.
No, it doesn't translate necessarily.
Doesn't translate. Doesn't, Chase Buford, that look, had that, he was you know, I mean, look, he had unbelievable pedigree. Let's face it, but and not just from, you know, the fact that he was a G League coach and all of that, but obviously his dad, but all the people that he played for and the, you know, he went to Kansas and all of that, you know, these great programs. So that's different. But this guy, just with no head coaching experience, and I don't care what you say, it's being a head coach, it's a totally different paradigm to anything. You know, being a GM or being a director of player personnel or being a scout or being, you know, and that gives and that qualifies you because you've got all these, you know, this resume that says you've been involved with basketball for a long time, and that automatically qualifies you to be an NBL head coach. Give me a break.
Yeah, I remember when Dean Demopoulos, who coached Melbourne United several
years ago. There's another example.
I saw his resume, and on there was the fact that he was Brittany Griner's free throw shooting coach.
Yeah.
Like, come on, what does that mean? You pass the ball 100 times after training. I mean, it's just, some of this stuff is a nonsense.
Yeah.
But I think there's three question marks. You've put a question mark over only one. I put a question mark over Jalen Adams because I know he's come off an injury compromised season, but he wasn't much better the year before for Mahmoud Abdul Fattah. He didn't play very well for him either.
Yeah, that's true.
Now, so that's two strikes he's got in my book. He's got one home run and then two strikes. So which guy do we get? I've got a question mark over him. I've got a question mark over Terrell Harrison's ability to stay healthy.
Yeah.
Because he's good a very point. Good player, but can he play the whole season? And then the other question mark, of course, is the coach, because I'm sure that when they had their discussions about who the new coach would be and they were wrapping it up, someone said what do we want for lunch? At the same time as someone said, who's the new coach? Someone yelled out goulash, and goulash got the gig.
Brisbane, why must you be this way?
Go on, Julian.
Why must you be this way? And the fact that we came on here and we heard Mick Randall late last season talk about the fact that Paul Hanara was deep in conversations with the Bullets.
Yeah.
And then they said, what about Stu? What about Stu?
Yeah.
I mean, the whole idea of, okay, you've got NBA experience, like you've been saying, and the other point is that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to come out here and be able to translate that into FIBA ball, 40-minute, smaller court. Different.
If they had a chance to sign Paul Hanara and they went with Stu Lash, then he needs to get him into the playoffs and deep into the playoffs because
agreed.
Paul is a great coach.
Yes.
So that's if he was in that conversation and down towards the end, wow, and they let him go, then either Stu Lash made this great impression, and I didn't mind the way he coached the first game. I thought the first game, I think that was at the Blitz. Who was that? Against Sydney. Yeah, I thought he coached that pretty well, given that he was down Dukas, Terrell Harrison, and also Jacob Holt. I thought he looked okay, but then the second game they got flogged by 38. And what I didn't like about that is not the margin, because you don't draw too much from preseason, but just the body language was a bit ordinary. And I think, you know, are we trying to make an impression here or not?
Yeah, set standards. Yeah.
Well, again, I just come back to Mick Randall coming on this program and saying that he was that deep in conversations. The understanding was he almost had it stitched up. He was definitely on the short list, and they've made that. I'll ask you this question. How would you feel going into the season? What would your confidence level be if Paul Hanara was the coach versus what it is with Stu Lash?
With the same group?
Yes.
I would have them as a finals team.
And now with Stu Lash?
I think they will not be competing at the business end of the season.
No.
I agree. Matt, you same?
The same. And again, look, we don't know, you know, what this guy is going to be as a head coach. He's got an enormous amount to prove. We can only go on what we know right now. And I just think any time you have to go out of your way to say this guy did this and this in the NBA,
right?
That just is a gigantic red flag for me.
Yep,
it always has been. And it's like we shouldn't wet ourselves about people being involved in the NBA anymore.
Yeah.
You know, at a coaching level. Now, we've got some of the greatest coaches in the world in this country, you know, at a number of levels, and it's been proven consistently. I think Paulie is incredibly unlucky. I think he's a phenomenal coach, and I think he would have added a lot to the program. So we'll see.
Yeah, Also, you look at the depth of this team, and like Mitch Norton, I've loved Mitch Norton his entire career.
Yep.
I don't think he's getting any younger.
No, of course not. And
so, Toey Smith-Milner, there's nothing that he can bring that we haven't already seen.
Yeah.
So yeah.
The bench is questionable. There's no doubt. And then the whole thing with Casey Prather as well, I think, you know, it's interesting. Like, he had a great year coming off, you know, some incredibly, you know, bad injuries. But can he again, a year older, and he's not as athletic as he was, and he has changed his game without a doubt, and it's been impressive to see. But another year, and then coming up against some, the hardcore talent that we've talked about, it'll be interesting to see how he responds in that next year.
I wish them well, but I don't see them doing a whole lot. But I wish them well.
Yep.
For anyone that comes in, oh, Julian, your bias against the Brisbane Bullets, I'm not. I actually want that. This has always come from a place I've wanted them to do well.
Yeah, especially the history. And we've talked about it a million times. Yeah. And third biggest market in the country and all of that stuff. So, yeah, we want them to do well. Yeah, you know, we want them to be not just getting 7,000 at Boondall. I want them to get 12,000 at Boondall, like the old days.
Yeah.
You know, in the sort of the mid to late 80s when, you know, Bullets fever, as it were, was at its height. So that's what we all want, because that just means that again, the NBL goes to a different level, I believe, when Brisbane is a strong and thriving ball club.
Real or overreaction, we were wrong about Stu Lash. Why did you put that in there?
Massive overreaction. We're not wrong. I mean, look, who was the coach on the night?
Oh, that's what I was going to ask you. Who's actually coaching this club?
Or was it Greg Vanderjack, my guy Greg Vanderjack? I mean,
it's D-Mac and Vanderjack, and Stu Lash is there as the coordinator.
Funny because, yeah, I was kind of brought back to the Olympics when, you know, Brian Gorgian was having some of his assistant coaches run timeouts, and people lost their bleeding minds about it. So, yeah, that was quite a funny thing. So, yeah, big overreaction. We're a big wait and see on it, but a great start again. Hey, they want to know.
If anything, it hardened my position on Stu Lash, because it is a committee. It's a coaching committee. Just judging from what we saw there, if they're going to be sharing the timeout load,
yeah,
do we need to be talking about the co-coach of the Brisbane Bullets, Stu Lash? And hey, they got the result. You can't argue with results. So yep. If they keep winning, keep doing it.
I think we should start with this because we've had one of the all-time greats already come out on social media and give his viewpoint on this Stu Lash coaching situation. Can't even say it. And it was, I guess, for you and I, when we did the season preview and we talked about this whole scenario, we always said this whole process, trust the process, this whole process of selecting this guy as your head coach was monumentally flawed, or there was no process. And it ended up being the guy's a mate of the owner. He's got NBA experience as whatever, director of player personnel or scout or, you know, video guy, who the hell knows. Never had an assistant coaching role, never had a head coaching role anywhere. He can do it. He knows basketball. He's from the NBA, and that's how we'll sell it. We'll sell it to our fans. Yeah, this guy, he's got unbelievable NBA experience. Like, that means diddly squat, and especially these days. I did say, let's give the guy a chance. I said, we don't look. You can make that argument for Justin Tatum. Justin Tatum had high school coaching experience. That was it. He was brought in as a special advisor. We know the story. Took over from Jacob Jacquemus. Ended up taking the Hawks to a semifinal that first year. We all know what happened last year. And he was the coach of the year. That, to me, was just a magical situation, and one that was very unlikely to be repeated. And particularly with this guy. And especially since the Bullets, as we've also spoken about for a long period of time, you know, particularly you, you know, getting a bit well, upset because you want Brisbane to succeed, as do I, because, you know, we talked about it a million times, third largest market in the country. So when this happened, we were kind of like, oh, no. We thought they turned the corner. Look, I didn't think they should have got rid of Justin Schuller personally as a head coach. I thought they handled that really poorly. I think so far, you know, this doesn't look good. And over the weekend, man, it was eye-opening at the very least. I could not believe what I saw in those timeouts and just during the game. I've not seen anything like it.
So, like I said, I've seen a lot of Brisbane lately. It hasn't been the Bullets. I've caught up today. I have been watching the KO minis. They've been an absolute godsend, those, over the last few weeks. Obviously, I was at the throwdown because I called the thing. But I wanted to go back and just have a look at Brisbane because the last couple of Brisbane games, no, this can't be right. Surely this is just maybe a subconscious inherent bias is making me see something. No, it's real. Greg Vanderjagt is coaching this team along with D-Mac, and we have a guy in Stu Lash who is there spectating. He's there as the team manager. It's almost like he's there as a contest winner. He's not coaching this team. You're supposed to be, and we've said this 1,000 times on this show, you're meant to be the third biggest market in the country. And particularly in a week where AFL analogies are the norm. And I saw the one with Melbourne United being compared to Geelong, and boy, howdy, do they nail that one.
Yes.
Well, if Melbourne United are Geelong, then Brisbane, you're Essendon. You should be a giant, but you're embarrassing.
Yeah.
This was ridiculous. And it's made me angry because of the talent that we've said is on this roster. This should be a top 14.
Yeah, they built, I don't know, I wouldn't go that far, but they built a team that can be competitive. It's, you know, with the right coaching, and right now we don't know who the hell the coach is. Is it Greg Vanderjagt? Is it Daryl McDonald, the legend? For what it's worth, I mean, I know Vandy very well, and he's one of those guys that's going to be a head coach, legitimate head coach, that is.
I was going to say, he already is one.
He practically is, but a legitimate head coach in the National Basketball League one day. He will. He's got a great background. He works his tail off. He's very, very knowledgeable, good man manager, you know, all those things that you kind of look for in a young head coach at this level. I defer to the great Mark Worthington. The first tweet, red flags at the Bullets with Stu Lash. Worldwide search for a head coach, and I'm quoting the tweet. Gifted by his mate and co-owner Levian. True. Basketball resume is exactly what I just said. Scout and video coordinator. 02-06. Director of player personnel, 09-12. This team deserves better. He's not a coach. Vandy and D-Mac are babysitting. And were those on the money? Absolutely on the money. And anybody with a television could see it. It's his ideas, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but I can't imagine going out there and as a Bullets player, particularly Jalen Adams is your point guard, who hasn't been at his best ever since that great partnership between him and Chase Buford ended. And I don't mean ended in a bad way. I mean, obviously, Chase moved on, and then, Jalen eventually moved on. Jalen moved on with the Kings, and he's had two coaches since then. It just didn't work, and clearly it's not working at the moment. Well, look, he's still a good player. But I can't imagine he'd be looking at this situation with any happiness or any confidence in what was going on. And they could have won both games on the weekend, amazingly enough. And I think that's probably down more to the talent. But they haven't. And, you know, look, Tyrell Harrison's going to be a superstar, I think. He's getting to that point as far as big men are concerned anyway in this league. But, yeah, the whole thing could be held back by this situation, which, yeah, it's utterly bizarre that a professional basketball organization would quote, you know, I mean, would say, quote, that we've been through a worldwide coaching search and then end up with a guy who's got no coaching experience whatsoever, other than he's an NBA guy, big freaking deal, and his mate's the co-owner, and gave the job to him. What, you honestly believe you're going to contend for a championship? We're in it to win it. You know, as the saying goes, we're in the wins and losses business here, and we can't have this team, you know, floundering yet again. We can't. They're trying to build something up there. Well, you'd hope they are.
What are they building?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's a crazy situation. And again, you know, look, it's still early. I put the caveat on. We don't know what's going to happen, but my confidence level in this organization has taken still. You know, we were told it was different. It was going to be, you know, positive, professional, and all of that. And so far, it's anything but.
My expectations were pretty low to begin with. They were almost on the floor, and yet they've soared beneath them. They really have. This has set new standards by Brisbane standards. Sunday in particular, that was damning. Because it felt like, even watching, not even in timeouts, in general play, Vanderjagt and D-Mac are having conversations about tactics. You could see it. They're having conversations about, okay, we should shift this, move this, move this, and move this. And Stu Lash is down, the, you know, halfway down the sideline, just in his own world. Felt like that there was a whole different process going on without his involvement. And then you get to the timeouts, and Greg Vanderjagt's leading the timeouts. And we're seeing D-Mac lead the timeouts.
You remember, and I spoke about this last week when we first saw it, that people lost their biscuits when Brian Gorgian was giving up, I think it was Adam Caporn might have been taking some of the timeouts during the Olympics. And people were like, what the hell's going on here? You know, Gorge has lost it, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, how this is a good look for Brisbane, how anyone would think that, you lose me. I'm stunned. And again, proof it will ultimately be in the pudding. It's a long season. Well, not that long, but longer than usual, 33 games. But the only way it's going to stop the chatter and stop the incredulousness of pretty much everybody that knows basketball is they got to win ball games. Simple as that.
Well, they're going to win ball games just based on talent alone. They are
going
to win ball games.
Not in this league, you're not. No, not in this league, you're not. That's what I'm saying. If this thing is going to work, it's a large uphill battle that they face because, you know, you look at the coaching, and I've said this a million times, the coaching in this league is outstanding. Not just in this league, like in every level in this country. We have world-class coaches. We've lost a lot of them overseas for that very reason. And in this league, it's no different. The scouting is outstanding. The in-game adjustments are usually on point for the really good ones, you know, and there's a lot of them. And right now, he's not showing that he's a legitimate head coach. That's the bottom line.
And I know the whole thing. Well, you know, Vanderjagt drew up this player, D-Mac drew up this player, so they're telling the team through these players. Okay, well then, if that's the case, what is Stu's contribution to this program right now?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and exactly. I mean, is it purely motivational? Is that what he's there for? Well, doesn't seem like that. How are the guys responding to him? Well, are they responding to him or are they responding to Vandy or D-Mac? This is the question. There's three separate voices.
He's the director of morale.
Yeah, director of morale. I can't see how it's going to work long term. If this is the way they're going to go and he's not the guy that's the voice, because ultimately it should be like, look, yes, Vandy and D-Mac as assistants, they should have their say. They should be listened to. But ultimately, the final message has to come from the head coach. That's how this thing works. And maybe Brisbane have found some secret sauce, which, you know, being 1-2 would suggest not. But maybe they think this is a new way of doing things and we're going to show the NBL that this is the way to go. You got to convince me first, up, win some ball games. And beating New Zealand doesn't mean diddly squat, means nothing. So beat Melbourne, beat Perth, beat Illawarra, beat Tassie, beat the Phoenix. If you want to convince me that this whole thing isn't just an absolute shambles.
This is an insult to the
past players of the Brisbane Bullets. This is an insult to the fan base of the Brisbane Bullets. This is an insult to the history of the Brisbane Bullets. This is an insult to the city of Brisbane, who, by the way, in case you haven't heard, aren't hard up at the moment on a winning team.
Yeah, that's right.
They've got choices.
It's a great opportunity. I mean, we've seen it. Brisbane can leverage off that, the Lions. They can. I've always talked about there are similarities between AFL and basketball, a lot of connections over the years. Yeah, yeah. I mean, when you consider some of the great coaches that have been through there, I mean, the obvious one, Brian Curl, the obvious one, Jerry Wright, Bruce Palmer's another one over the years. Yeah, I can imagine Curly and Joey be looking at this situation and just shaking their heads.
I said they'll win games based on talent. You're right. I mean, this league is too good. They can't play New Zealand every week.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
it's too strong a league to be able to do it. They've got some incredible talent in there.
And look, to be fair, the Adelaide game they lost, they were without a guy who's going to be a really key piece for them, Javon Freeman Liberty. There's no doubt about that. That hurt them. But they should. They still had enough to be competitive. I guess that's the other thing. Albeit, you know, I mean, it was one import, Adelaide. But they've got lots of proof.
Do you just put Stu back in the office and say to Greg and D-Mac, okay, you two are the co-coaches? Or have them both have a coach off?
No, a coach off. Yeah, I don't know. Like,
how do you get out of this?
Yeah, I don't know.
And then we go back to on this program. Back in the winter, we had Mick Randall, who told us that Paul Hanare was essentially ready to take this job.
Yeah.
Now, imagine this Brisbane team with Paul Hanare as head coach.
Yeah, it'd be a different situation. And look, it doesn't guarantee anything. But, you know, I'd be more comfortable having a guy like that leading my program, put it that way.
I guarantee you it wouldn't look like a parody. Like it currently looks like.
Yeah.
It just looks like a meme. They look like an internet meme. And if the Bullets are upset at me about saying that, then that's fine. But,
you know, wouldn't be the first time.
It won't be the first time that I'd be banned from the building or whatever it was
that's
I wanted to do.
Yeah.
and that's fine. I just, before we get into the review of last weekend, I've gone to basketball.com.au. Just back on Stu Lash for a minute.
No, hang on. Julian.
I've gone down this rabbit hole. This is what they do to me. Braden Hazelhurst, who we both know very well. Yep, great man. Very good at what he does.
He's a listener of the program as well. So, Braden.
He wrote in April about the appointment of Stu Lash, which we reacted to at the time. But this one kind of slipped by me. Two-time championship coach with the Kings, Chase Buford, was reportedly interested, but the Bullets weren't interested in him. Two of the finalists included former New Zealand Breakers coach Paul Hanare, which we knew, and David Gomez, who is coaching in Japan. So it wasn't just Paul Hanare. We had Chase Buford, who is still yet to lose an NBL championship as a head coach. He went 2-for-2. And the Bullets said, no, we good. What?
Pull yourself out of the rabbit hole, Julian.
How did...
You're sinking deeper and deeper into it.
The more I dig into this, the stupider it becomes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course. And we said that at the time. Yeah, 100%.
They would have said no to Gorge at this rate.
Yeah, well, probably. I don't think I worry about that. We'll get on to that in a minute. But, yeah, I know what you mean.
Phil Dean Jackson.
Vickman maybe, or Justin Tatum, or Scotty Roth, or Adam Ford. You know, go on down the line.
Adam Ford and Dean Vickerman want to both coach together. No, we're good. We'll take Stu Lash.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And the last bit as well, Mark Worthington mentioned the years of experience. The last year that's on that list is 12.
Yeah, 2012, yeah.
For those of you playing at home, it's currently 25 and soon to be 26.
Yep.
So 25 minus 12 equals 13 years. This is the dumbest thing that the Bullets have ever done.
Yeah. No.
And that's saying a mouthful.
Yeah. Be careful. There's been a few more than that, but again, I'll try and come with a more positive approach to it. They're 1-2. It's a 33 game season. Let's see if Stu does his studying.
It's not personal, folks. This is not personal.
Yeah, we're gonna cop it. You in particular. But anyway, that's fine. It's not. Yeah, you're used to it when it comes to them.
They don't like me. I'm just disappointed by them consistently. Because what I would love nothing more. NBL Championship Series, sold out Boondall, Brisbane Bullets winning the championship, 13,000 Queenslanders screaming their heads off.
Mm.
That would be. We've seen it with Tasmania. We've seen it with Sydney in recent times. We could see it with Adelaide sooner rather than later with Bryce Cotton there. That would be unreal to see that in Brisbane.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, I've obviously seen it, but I remember, you know, 87 and you know, when they won in 85, and that was at, you know, Chandler, it wasn't at Boondall. But 87 was just, it was magical. And I mean, you know, the third game of that grand final series ended up at the time was the most biggest attendance for an indoor event, full stop, in this country, because we didn't have the giant, you know, Qdos, and we didn't have an RAC, and we didn't have the National Tennis Center at the, you know, when it, you know, before it was built. We didn't have that. What we had was the Brisbane Entertainment Center, Boondall. And I still remember it like it was yesterday. It was just, there was something special. It's basically what the Brisbane, getting back to the AFL, it's what the Brisbane Lions have, they've captured that. You know, the games at the Gabba, you know, sold out consistently, and the noise and the atmosphere, and people just love the Lions, and they're exciting, and it's part of the fabric. Who would have believed that in such a rugby league town that this AFL team could capture the imagination the way they have? Well, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, that was Brisbane Bullets basketball. That was exactly how it was in the days of the legend Leroy Loggins, in the days of the great man Brian Curl, of Ronnie the Rat Radliff, of Larry Sengstock, of Long John Dorge, and then later on in the early 90s, the great man Derek Rucker and Andre Moore, that great team. And, you know, it was spectacular. And it was, you know, really a big reason why the NBL had that boom, as they called it, in those times. And that's what, I guess, you in particular, you know, you get upset about what you kind of think is stupidity, and I think a lot of people would agree with you, when you just want to see them capture that again. You know, you see what's possible. You see what has been possible with the basketball team, what is possible given the fantastic success of the Lions. And yes, the Brisbane Broncos, you know, well, I don't care about NRL personally, but I understand it. Obviously, it is a big part of the culture up there. I get it. So it is there for the Bullets if they want to take it. But you've got to do the right things. You've got to be so professional. You've got to, you know, you've got to capture hearts and minds. And they're still a long way from that, unfortunately. I hope they get it right.
The Brisbane Bullets. The champions from the Sunshine State.